Spirit is our teacher, even though you use a man. And I pray that our hearts and affections would be directed to you, to Calvary. And that every need, every trial, every question, any confusion may be answered today. And that only you can touch the inner man, the heart. So, Father, we thank you for the anointing now in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I've got a title today for those who take notes, and it's good to take notes because you don't have to write every word down I say, but, you know, just one or two things that sometimes can speak. You can take that away and you can meditate, or you can even pray on that. And it's amazing what just sometimes putting a few brief notes down sometimes can just do. Because, you know, we don't want to lose whatever God's saying to us, whether it's individually or corporately. But today we have a title, True Faith Will Act. True Faith Will Act. And we know where we are in the faith. Very often God does speak to us, he does tell us, but we're not always too quick to hear sometimes. And life has a way of trying to keep us very busy hearing what the Spirit is saying. But if we desire to hear God in our lives, God will move heaven and earth in your circumstances to give you that time of that precious fellowship that we can have with him. But true faith will act, and that's what we're talking about today. And I'm going to base this from Habakkuk, which is one of the minor prophets, from Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, which says here, "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him." But this is the one I want to hone in. "But the just shall live by his faith." But the just will live by his faith. Or another translation puts it in, "The just will live by his faithfulness." God is faithful in providing. And what does he provide? That gift of faith to believe. So remember that God gives the faith in which for us to believe, to be redeemed, born again, made that new creation. And so when faith is present, it will act in accordance to the true will of God. And remember that. When faith is present, faith will act in accordance to the will of God, not contrary to the will of God. So when you find yourself going through a trial or a battle, or somebody has upset you, whatever it is, faith, if it's present, will be there to embrace that brother or sister or that trial or that situation that could not be done in the natural. Now, we don't always immediately get to that point there and then, bang on. I wish sometimes we did. But we're all fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. And there's a goal that is fixed for each one of us, and we get to that goal in that way and time as God works with us. It might not be such a trial for somebody else, but it is for you. And that's why we encourage one another, pray for one another, because we all come out of a different environment, different background, different parenting, and so on. So this is the wonderful thing about God, that he's gracious, he's patient, and he's ever working with us. But the point that I want to say is that true faith will know how to act. Now, we've used some wonderful analogies, haven't we, about faith, one of which is, of course, about a chair. And I love to remind, because it's so apt, it so speaks about it. But most of us go and sit in a chair, not thinking first, before we look at it, and think, well, is this going to hold me? We automatically put our weight down on that chair because we believe it's been structurally made to hold our weight. And you didn't even consider, you didn't even think, I don't think anyone today thought of the chairs in this room, is this going to hold me or not? Or will it collapse when I sit down? You automatically did it. Now, that is an understanding or an idea of faith. You just believed. So if that is in the natural realm, and man has made this furniture, how much more when we have God's revealed word to us? That all these promises are even more real, more everlasting and eternal than even the very chair that you're sitting on. Your chair that you sit on, if the Lord tarries, has a life expectancy. But not the word of God and his promises. They're ever eternal. So true faith will act in accordance. The same as you sat down on a chair and you didn't even think for a moment that it would collapse. And this is why when we see that here, as we read, but the just shall live by his, we have to remember that God's faith holds creation into being. When he spoke the word into being. God is faith. Faith believed that when he spoke and divided light from darkness, it would happen. And so on. And that is why we draw from him what he has already said and done according to the word of God. So when we look around, when we look up in the sky and see God's glory, that is his faith speaking that into being. And he says, what you see, what I spoke into being when I created and made man and I made you, is the very faith that I have and am is in you that has caused you to now start to follow me and embrace the word of God. If ever you want to get your faith back to simplistic terms and being, think upon God who is faith, spoke it into being. I live by that. I live by that power. And as far as creation goes, there's no beginning, no end to it. Well, there is an end to it. But we don't know because we can't see. It is so vast. It literally blows your mind, as I say. And it is by that that we stand and believe. So we see that The whole new creation, it stands by faith. And we're that new creation today. This meeting today is God's new creation. We are that new family of God. Now, turn with me, if you will, to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 11 and verse 20. I'll be looking in Romans over this teaching today. But Romans 11 and verse 20. And here it says, well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. And so it goes on. And of course, in the two chapters of 10 and 11, it's speaking about Israel, who failed God, whose hearts were hard and haughty. And he says here, quite clearly, in verse 20, he says, well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. And he says, because you stand by faith, don't be haughty. In other words, don't have that pride, but fear the Lord, and so on. And of course, this is why God deals with pride in us. And he will continue to deal with pride. Somebody said to me long ago, do you think we'll come to a place where pride is sort of finished within us and everything? I said, no. I said, it's something God's going to work with right through until he comes for us. Because pride has a way of raising its ugly head. And you think to yourself, where on earth did that come from? Because it's our trial. You see, God, at the end of the day, has pride under control. And that's why we're so dependent on him. You see? And so, that was Israel's failure, and Israel's failure is our warning. Because we're grafted in now. Israel was God's chosen people, but because they rebelled, and because of the rebellion, we now are part of it. And so, this is something that we have to be on our guard, you see. Our whole life is a faith with each day producing the works. Now, faith has got to produce something. Anybody can say, I am a disciple of Christ. I am a Christian. And the world out there has every right to turn around and say, okay, prune it. Now, Jesus didn't fall for that, because we know where they're coming from. And if you did prove it, if even a miracle was done, they won't believe. They won't believe. It says in the word, if Moses came back, they won't believe. Why? Because salvation is a gift. And like any gift, you receive it. God's greatest gift to the world is his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I can give you a gift, and you have two choices. You can either say, no, thank you. No, you don't have to do that. No, nobody else. Or you can say, thank you for that, and you can receive it. You see, this is where those who teach once saved, always saved, can't handle that man actually has a free will to say no to Jesus. That's the scary part of it. But we have seen that gift that God has given to the world through Jesus Christ, and we have received it, and we've said, thank you, I receive that, I take that gift that gives me eternal life. There is faith operating. You don't know how, you don't know why. Faith is almost like the wind. You can see it and feel it, but you can feel it, but you can't see it. And you can't tell the wind out there where it's going to go. It's going to go and move and travel wherever it wants. And so our faith is the same. Our faith knows we have received. with embrace. My life has changed. My life is different. I'm thinking differently. I'm starting to talk differently. I've been turned around. This is why salvation is radical. Because it is. It completely changes your life and turns you around. That is what faith does. And so faith knows how it acts. It knows how to confess. And that is why we need the Word of God to inspire our faith to confess according to the will of God. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing the Word of God, as we know. So by studying these scriptures, the Word, that in us to believe according to that which we are reading. Our biggest problem, of course, with faith, and we're talking about true faith will act, we're not very good at waiting. That is a lot of our problem. And God never moves. When you take a step of faith, I could guarantee it, it'll go over time very often. And you think, well, it's too late, it's past, it's finished. But it isn't with God. And God will have a way of then manifesting it at the right time. And of course, we've got many, many illustrations in the scriptures that show us this. So we have to learn with faith that will act, that it will not act according to how I want it to act, and in my timing, and in my way. Notice the word my comes in. Faith is sovereign. Your act of faith is sovereign, because it is the sovereign one who's in control, and when he decides it manifests at that point and second, it will do so according to his will, because it's about his glory and he never gets it wrong. And so there are many times we find ourselves waiting for the promise to manifest, and of course we see much of that in scripture. And that is the test, isn't it? Am I still believing after a year? Am I still believing after 10 years? Am I still believing after 20 years? Am I still believing after 40 years? Well, all the while I still have breath, and praise God, it's on its way. And you've got to keep your mind out of that. You see, this is where he's delivering us. This is where he has to cast down these fears, these questions, these anxieties, these things that hinder us. And they will always, in nature, fear, anxiety, will always, in nature, get you to question God and his faithfulness. Well, he's forgotten. Well, he's left me out. Or it's not going to happen. And all the usual thing. And then, of course, we go into a sulk. We get in a mood and all emotional, and oh dear, well, we've all been there, haven't we? So, you know, these are the things that we are learning about God, because God is so great. He is so big. He's so other than we are. We're like a speck of sand upon the beach in comparison to the greatness of God. And yet the Bible says he knows every head of hair on our head. They are all numbered. Yes, brothers, even if you're losing your hair, they're still numbered as well. It's amazing, isn't it, you see? So, turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 3, verse 28. Romans chapter 3, verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. So, of course, he's speaking about there that it's not deeds, works, that justify you. It is that you are justified by faith, and faith has fulfilled the law and its demands, and all that needed to be done was. That's why we say, praise God, we don't have to come today to church bringing a dove or a goat or whatever it is, and praise God the elder or the pastor hasn't got to slay them and slaughter them, you know, to shed blood. I mean, I praise God for that. It's all been done. It's finished. It's done in Jesus Christ. But you still got people who want to bring themselves still under the law in some way or another. You are free now in Christ. No, you are not free to go and just do as you want, but you are free from the demands of the law. So you are free to eat. Obviously in moderation, not in gluttony, but you are free to eat, because as we pray over our food is blessed, is sanctified. And you can eat meat. And you can eat all things that are blessed by the Lord. But again, obviously, in moderation. If you're going to get a bit glutton, then you're going to suffer the consequences. You see? Because God has put natural laws within us. We all need at least 6 to 8 hours sleep a day. That is a law set in us. Because that is where we heal during that time when we sleep. Much of the healing, much of your defense mechanism within you to survive is achieved when you are asleep. You see? So God knows. And we could just go on and on about that. The law of life, the law of death. The law of life can speak out of your mouth, or the law of death can speak out of your mouth. And sometimes we hear the law of death speaking out of our mouth, and God's going to correct it. He's going to say, that isn't good, what you've said. Now what are you going to do about that? And he gives us time to repent and get it under the blood of Jesus. So that sets in motion, and the law of life setting in motion. If you start confessing cancer over your life because of fear working, you probably will get it. And I know of people, sadly, in the past, who no longer are here because they were held by the fear of cancer and confessing it, and every time they had an ache or pain or a lump or whatever, oh, it's cancer, it's cancer. Eventually, that law of death they're confessing started to take over. And it will. This is why we're so opposed to these on media, on television, whatever it is. That's bad for you, because that's going to give you cancer or whatever it is. And then we hear 2 years later, oh no, it's good for you now. They don't say we got it wrong. No, they don't do that. But they try and correct it or whatever. I mean, I don't know what anybody watched recently. They did a very interesting program on cooking fats. I don't know whether you saw it, but they took olive oil, they took vegetable oil, margarine, lard. There were about four or five of them, the ones that you buy and cook, you see. Now, everybody, of course, when they interview and said, well, olive oil's got to come out, good virgin olive oil's got to be the tops. And indeed, it is. But the question is, how do you use it? And it's absolutely ideal on salads. They're not poured out, or, you know, use it with garlic or whatever you want. Absolutely fine, but not so good to cook with. So then they try others, and they say, and well, anyway, I know most of you know this one, but you know what came out the best for cooking?
Lard.
Good old lard.
Lard.
Good old lard. And I thought, our ancestors have not got it wrong. Why didn't we listen all along? And yet here we were, told, you know, everything. And they said, if you're going to cook, fry, whatever it is, we recommend you use lard. And I've said it all wrong. But like everything, it is in moderation. That's the whole point. You are free in Christ. This is the thing, you see. And you've got amongst Christendom where you are forbidden to drink wine or alcohol. Give me chapter and verse in the New Testament where you are forbidden. It gives warnings. Of course it does. But that's common sense in a sense. You know? If you want to get drunk, you know, will you suffer the consequences the following day? The point is, there's nothing wrong with a glass of wine, Brutus. You see? That is the whole point. But some people like to make a law of it. Now, we have said this before, and I will say it again. It's obviously coming up for a reason, so God knows. If you know people, or you're with someone, as a believer, and you know they're an alcoholic, or they have a drink problem, then sometimes it's wise to not just have a drink, to have a mineral, or whatever it is, so that you are not a stumbling block to that person. But you are still free. That is the whole point. That is being loving and sensitive. I know once years ago when I was asked to conduct a wedding, as we sat down and were having the champagne and everything, God said, you drink orange. And I thought, and again that voice said, you just drink orange. Now God was speaking specifically. What I didn't know later on was there were quite a few alcoholics, people with a drink problem in that wedding, whatever. See, I didn't know immediately, I had to obey first, then the understanding came later. I thought, thank you Lord for that. Mm. It didn't matter. I do like a glass of champagne, I'm not going to say I'm not. And of course, what you do, you toast the couple and everything, so of course I had to toast them with orange. But it doesn't matter. You see, it doesn't matter. What is such a blessing is you hear what God is saying, because it's a bigger picture, it's not about you. It's about other people. God is love. And we express that love to others. And especially to the unlovable. And believe me, there are many of them around. They really are. But you can't do it in yourself. It is the power of God in you through faith reaching out to the unlovable. You see? And that's then what gives God the glory, because you can say at the end of the day, there's no way I could have done that in myself. No way. God did that. Thank you. You see? That's what this whole walk is about. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so we see here in verse 28, he'll be with you when you go out and when you come in. He'll be with you, whatever you eat, whatever you wear, whatever protection. He'll be with you over your house, your homes. He will provide, look after your homes. He'll be with you with your job, your family, your own health, everything. Everything that you can think of in our practical everyday life and walk. God says, I am with you, and you appropriate that by faith. And believe me, we need to, with what is coming upon the earth. Because we're slowly seeing things really straining at the seams. Things that we rely on, they're not providing the services that they once did. There ain't the money now that is around. You say to me, well, London, look at London, it seems to prosper and everything. Well, London, like every other city, what you see, and those mega buildings going up and everything, that it's all on borrowed money. Cannot build economies on borrowing, borrowing, borrowing. And that's why it will all tumble. In the end, you see, you can't do it. You can only go so far. It's very simple, but money has to be paid back. And it's going to get to such a point that it's going to be so mega that it can't even be paid back. You can only go so far with all of that. And yet, we aimlessly go along with it all, thinking that tomorrow will be okay, But it's all about the law of sowing and reaping. Do you know a country, a nation, a government is also judged on how it sows? It's not just the Christian. God has set in this world the law of life and the law of death in motion. And you see it working every day. You don't have to look, it's working. And you make sure that you are walking where the law of life is in operation every day with you. And it's not always easy to maintain that. Sometimes hard decisions have to be made. But I know this is right. I have to say no to this because this is maintaining the law of life. And I will see it in time. Do you see? And that's how we walk, brothers and sisters. Because that causes our faith to act. It keeps our faith active. Your faith is like a muscle. Muscles have to be used. What is frightening about a muscle is it deteriorates very quickly if not used. It really, really does. You're talking a matter of weeks, deterioration of muscle. So if we take that over to the spiritual, our faith, like that spiritual muscle, it has to be used every day. Now, you say to me, well, I don't know if I'm walking by faith or whatever it is. Well, start to ask God to make you sensitive. Because if you are a new creation in Christ, and he's given us that gift of faith, which I've read to you back in Habakkuk, then your faith is actually acting. It's just you're looking or hearing the wrong voices or looking at the wrong things. Now, I'm not saying that in the sense that we can sit back and be smug, because we always see our faith improving. It must. But it is working. It is working. I'll just give a very simple analogy. It took faith to come here today. But God knew what our faith was going to do. God knew this meeting even before the foundation of the world. Nothing ever takes God by surprise, you see. So the very fact that we're here, the very fact we're listening, the fact we're praising God, that is faith in action. You see, sometimes we go wrong because we're trying to analyze our faith. We're trying to say, here it is, I've got this block of faith, I've got something that's of faith, and I've got to use it. It's not like that. Even though we know the parable of where it speaks of the mustard seed of faith, but that's simply an analogy of how faith really works. Because it's just believing God. And many, many times you're believing God, you're believing. Or you feel you just failed God, or whatever it is. Often our acts of faith come at a time when you least expect it. It comes when I don't feel too good today in the natural, or, you know, I had a rotten night last night, or whatever it is. But the opportunity to believe God very often comes in those situations, which simply shows that God isn't limited to how you're feeling today, or what sort of news you've heard, or whatever it would be. So we're in time going to find ourselves acting our faith in any situation, no matter what the water is like, whether it's a turmoil, or whether it's calm, or whatever it is. Faith is not dependent on the weather forecasts or what the sea is up to or doing. It is not. It's way, way, way above that. That is why we can confidently say, I walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Because by sight, it looks a failure. Your life looks a failure. Your circumstances look a failure. Your family looks a failure. Everything looks a failure. That's why God has to save us and put that faith there, that gift to believe, so that we start to rise above it.
Amen.
And you will. You will. Because Jesus rose above. Jesus was taken up into heaven. We're told in the book of Acts. They looked up as he was taken up. And then an angel said, "Hey, Messiah that you see go up, you're looking up, he will come in the same way." So as we look up, we're looking away from the world. I know when I buried my dear mother, the Lord said to me at the grave, "Don't look down, look up." She had risen. She's risen. Didn't interest me. You know? Look up. That's the hope. That's the hope. And that's why, you see, we need faith. And we need faith for this church. Bringing it down to practical terms. The enemy wants to destroy this body. But you don't know it. He tries every obstacle to keep us away, or keep us busy, or keep us doing other things, or whatever it is. We need to believe. We need to believe for our fellowship.
Yeah.
Which is so vital. So vital. We need to pray one for another. To believe the best for one another. And know that when we come together, it feels and is so right. True fellowship in Christ isn't something you have to work at. It's something that should flow. I'm not saying at times we don't have trials in relationships. Of course we do, like any family, brothers and sisters. But they always say the best thing about that is making up. And so if you're having a problem or whatever it is, say, "Well, this has been a bit difficult, but I'm looking forward to the making." But it's true. And so, you know, we need to believe for this church and believe that it's moving forward. That is always my desire. This is what ministry is for. This is why God sets the ministry, the fivefold ministry, because part of that ministry, and particularly the pastoral ministry, is not only just a pastor of the flock, but a shepherd. What does a shepherd do? He moves with the sheep. And he is taking, with his staff, taking the sheep on to new pastures. I need your faith, your prayers, to help me do that for you as a church. And the only way we can do that is when we're looking to the great shepherd, Jesus himself. Because as we move forward into those fresh pastures, not only is it food for us, not only is it protecting us from the wolves, which a shepherd is to do with the sheep, but also it's to cause our faith to act as we walk. So we're walking forward because we have a vision. Without a vision, the Bible says, my people perish. What it means, I've said it before, I'll say it again, they don't know where they go. We've all of us been in a car on a journey and we've got lost. Particularly if your time's short, you're supposed to be there at a certain time, and you feel that real anxiety coming on, you think, dear, dear me, I've got to be there in 10 minutes and I don't even know where I am. And all, you know, it just, everything becomes stressful. Do you know, we have so many in churches today, some of them are true believers, but they're stressed. They don't know what's going on. They only see church today as some form of entertainment, which you can get at the theatre or on the TV or whatever it is. It's far, far, far more than that. They're not experiencing true fellowship, that true unity of the Spirit. And that can only come as we believe for that. Not only believe, but expect it. I expect that from God. If I can't expect from God, who else can I expect from? Now, I'm not being irreverent what I'm saying there. I expect it because I've seen what it's written in the Word of God to expect and believe for. But if God can't provide, If God can't do this, we might as well all go back and have a good old time in the world and pay the consequences. So our faith must be active for fellowship. It's got to be active, believing for ministry. And above all, our faith has got to be believing, active, from our protection from Satan, who goes around like a roaring lion. That is why it is so important you are in faith, believing with your brother and sister when they're going through a trial, or they're going through a physical, or whatever trial. I am believing with you. And what is one of the clear signs of your faith being active? You get in prayer. I hope most of us have seen all the email that came through this week from our brother, Bob, in Kenya. See, I send these through because he is suffering. He's going through trial. I spoke to him. He ran through. The food is not very good. Three of them, they had bad dysentery. They thought he got malaria. But I know he's not. As I've spoken to him, he's told me what's going on. And I then said to him, I said, look, is there anything you can have? Do you have bread? You know, you can make toast, because that's marvelous. No, we don't have bread here. See, so he's really finding it in the natural very difficult. And he said, Kim, I'm trusting the Lord. But he said, I am so weak. He said, you know, you can't keep anything, you know. And he said, we've got this ministry. And he said, I'm just asking for prayer and from the saints that God will strengthen. God will strengthen me so that I can continue with this ministry and so on. But I could tell by his voice, he's really going through it. He's being tested. He's being tried. But at the end of it, he said, I know I'm going to trust the Lord and so forth. But we have a part. We stand believing. If he's suffering, we are. You know, when I put that phone down and everything, immediately the enemy started, well, you're not going to see him anymore because he won't survive. And I thought, how am I going to tell his mother that? And everything? And I thought, get out, Satan! You know, and the mind starts. And I thought, no. And I knew what faith was to do. Straight in warfare. And so on. And that's why I sent the email, so that you can stand as well to get in prayer. You see, but we'll only do that if we love one another. You see, that is the key. That is the key. You see, our active faith is going to see more and more of the mighty hand of God. What does it say in Romans chapter 1 verse 17? Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith, or his faithfulness. So we're shown here that God reveals that gift of faith he's given us. He says that God reveals himself from faith to faith. You cannot see anything of God apart from faith. You can only see God by faith. And that faith is there. Even if it's just that little bit of mustard seed, that is enough for God to reveal himself. And of course, he reveals himself in numerous ways. Many, many ways. Now, God isn't going to reveal himself personally to you because you will burn up. Immediately, you could not survive the presence of God. If we want to see God, we see him through Jesus Christ. The disciples asked that, you see? And so the Lord is going to reveal himself. And these revelations of God quicken our faith. No finer way of God revealing himself than when the saints come together in a meeting, the church, just like it is today, where he reveals himself more and more. And very often he's revealing himself through us to one another. See? Because he's spirit. and we worship God in spirit and in truth. You are a spiritual being with a body. You are not a body with a spirit. You are a spirit with a body. And your spiritual side is eternal. It cannot be destroyed. And it will go on forever and ever in two places, either heaven or hell. See? Our outward body, the flesh, that's dying. That's dying. But your spiritual side is not. How do we know you're spiritual? By your character, your personality. Every personality, character in this room is not the same. They're all wonderfully different. That is the spiritual side of you that will go on in eternity. You see? We another actually far more by our character, the spiritual side, than actually the flesh. You say to me, well, that sounds a bit strange. Quite simple. You talk to people and say, what was so-and-so wearing today? And you go around the room and you'll find different... Oh, no, it was pink. No, it wasn't. It was blue. No, it wasn't. They were wearing this. They were wearing that. Whatever, you know. We're not really focused on that. The enemy wants to keep you focused on all that sort of thing. But in the fellowship in the house of God, we are communicating on a spiritual level. The personality, the person, is the most important. That's why appearance, Jesus was never affected by appearance, and he had all sorts that he mixed with. The lowest of the lowest, prostitutes, you name it. I mean, even the disciples were embarrassed by some of the people he associated. This is God in flesh. Why? Because he saw something beautiful about them. You see? He saw the spirit, the heart, the real person. And that is what God is teaching us to appreciate, to understand, to move and walk by. And it cuts out then all this prejudice, all this judgmentaling, labeling, things that go on that religion attaches to. See? Because you see something about that person. You see the heart of the person. And you don't get that immediately. You have to work at that sometimes. You have to wait on God for that sometimes. You see? And so, you know, again, it's faith that's acting. It's that active faith. So we all know this one in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. But we do look at this quite often because it tells us an awful lot. But 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 tells us we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. Now why is that? Because everything you see is contrary. That's why. And God says, I don't want you we need to come to a place where we no longer believe what we're seeing and what we're hearing. Now, when I say that, I mean, obviously we believe there's a house here, there's a room, whatever it is. But we're not believing that, let's just take this house. We're not believing that this house is my or our eternal security. We're not believing that this house, all the answers that I need, all the security, everything and so forth, it's a blessing because God has made us to live in houses. So I'm seeing these things and whatever it is, but my security is not in them. Even in money, because the love of money is the root of all evil. The worlds are driven by money. And when you talk about money, you talk about power. and who, and what does power do? Power controls. Wars are created by money, control, power. Hitler wanted control, power. Napoleon wanted four, two, those two names I've given, they're types of Antichrist, of what's going to come, the Antichrist. They control, and they do it with power. Power buys weapons. Power buys forces, soldiers, everything, to keep people down, to oppress. See? And yet some will say to me, ah, but the word says the powers of be are ordained of God. God has entrusted governments, man and you, as families, whatever, he's given you power and he watches how you use it. He has given you, as mothers and fathers, over your children, he's given you that power. And he's going to watch how you use it. And if you misuse it, whatever, you bear the consequences. See? This is all part of growing up. Because you see, that power that he's given all of us, we can appropriate that by faith. Trusting him, believing. See? And he'll show you if you're doing something wrong. He'll show you if you're sensitive, and so on. So, that's how God has created it, you see. This is why God will judge the world in the last days, because it says that the Antichrist is coming forward, false Messiah, because the Jews are still waiting for Jesus, even though they've missed him. 2,000 years. He's going to come as a false Messiah and he's going to try and set up his kingdom. Why is it that that will take the final judgment of this dispensation to fall on the earth to bring the paradise conditions in, to bring Jesus to rule and reign? Do you know why? Because it's a violation of dominion that God gave to man. God said to Adam and Eve, you go forth now and have dominion over the earth. You name. So Adam named everything. He named the animals. He named. Your names that we have has come by man's dominion and everything. Because that is a law, a vital law, Satan has come to take that from man. He uses that now. He has taken that law, and I will establish my kingdom by force, by control, by deception. And that is why it will bring the final judgment. Because it's an absolute rebellion and violation of the law God set in motion when he created man. Even though when man fell, that has not changed. It's not changed. It's just become corrupted. That's the problem. And misused. And Satan has no right to it. And that's why he will be finally cast into outer darkness in eternity. That's what he does. That is why Satan is a controller. This is why we're seeing so much control coming now in these last days, in subtle ways and forms, where your liberty, your freedom, everything is gradually being taken away. Yeah. I don't know whether you've heard now, but the next thing banks are introducing now for ID, you won't be having a card soon, you'll be by your voice or by your face. So they're going to set up banks shortly where you will just speak into whatever it is, and once they've recorded it, got it, you don't need a card any longer. All moving toward the mark of the beast, which we find, you know. And if you believe in all of this, and you are a fearful person, and you're worried about your ID, you're worried about you know, your bank card being broken into or whatever it is. That would sound absolutely wonderful. What can it be better than to have a chip there with all your ID and everything and to be able to freely bank and do things and nobody can steal that? That's fine if it stops there. But we know it doesn't stop there because that chip is going to also change you genetically. It's far, far more to it. And if you are changed genetically, then you are not the creation created you to be. Life is in the blood, and the blood has been changed. So you, in effect, have become a type of alien. Therefore, where is redemption? What can the blood appropriate? You were once made in the image of God before the foundation of the world. Somebody has tampered with your DNA and changed you. Don't be blind to it's all going on. There are things going on behind doors that is mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. That is why the mark is so, so serious. Because I've brought this up before, I've always raised that question about the mark. Why is it you are eternally damned if you take it? What has to be about that mark? It can't just be about having your ID or your bank details or whatever. It's got to be more than that. What is really behind that? And of course, we began to hear that yes, it will be dealing with your DNA, you as a person, you've been changed. So right now we're beginning to really see what Satan's trying to do. But Hitler was trying to do it.
Yeah.
By trying to raise a blue blonde race. He tried it. They're all types, you see. So, praise God. You see, if you see this, who's shown you this? Not flesh and blood. God's shown you this. He's preparing you for what is coming. You see? This is why this walk's so wonderful. Because man can't show you this. It can only come from above and through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit who teaches us. And that's what allows these obstacles in our walk to show that we walk by faith. How do you know if you walk by faith unless you have an obstacle? And you do not have to go and look for obstacles. They'll find you. Don't bother about saying, well, I'm not having any trials. What's going on? You will. And your trial will show you, as in their heart sometimes, you walk by faith. You've got through that, which you wouldn't have done otherwise. And what we're learning is that these trials we go through, God's protecting us, and we don't have to go running every 5 minutes to the psychiatrist, or have to be sedated, or whatever it is, you know, because it's bad now. One in four has some mental form of problem. Now, it is that bad. And everybody flicks so quickly, so easily. When we don't, we remain calm. And so on. You see, this is what God is doing with us, because we see a bigger picture. Okay, there's a turmoil. Okay, some tragedies happen. But we will get through it. And that's the whole point, you see. We get through it. And that is why we walk by faith when these obstacles are there. See, God has a way of making us walk this, even in the physical flesh, because we live by faith. Galatians 2:20, I live by faith, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. I live and walk by faith, by the faith of God, even to the physical, from the hardest test, is when your health for a season has been removed. That is a hard one, and I'm not saying that that one is easy. But somehow, some way, my flesh can and will and still overcome this, even in my weakness. We have to face the fact, as I bring this to a close, that not all have a real faith. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2. We need to be discerning, because many will talk about faith, but there are also many who don't have faith. We mustn't be blind to this. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. That is prevalent now in these last days. Even sadly amongst many professing believers. Where he says here that we will be guarded. God will open our eyes. He will protect us, because not all have faith. Not all walk by faith. Not all have the faith which he's saying here. And you can't always discern immediately a wicked person. Why can't we always discern it straight off? Because they come often as an angel of light, just like the enemy does. How often have we heard, you know, people say to me, well, you know, I thought that person was a friend, really got on and everything, but boy, have I seen another side. I didn't know that was there. And it could be in marriages or whatever it is. We call it today Jekyll and Hyde, you know. And so God has to show us, and he shows us on the basis of faith. Faith will test those who are wicked and those who are righteous. Faith will test that. This is why the faith teaching is so important, and this is why we have it come up so frequently, reminding us how we walk, because this is what tests it. You see? And they can talk about it. We know these ministers are talking about faith. They have these mega ministries and whatever it is. They don't really have faith. They have an organization. And it's got to be funded. And you, sadly, are the victims that do it. And they have a way of getting the money out of you. And many flock for it. Well, praise God, you know, we've been drawn out of that. But I know Satan's got other people who are around who will save their faith. A false prophet can come in and say, I have faith in everything, but inside this wickedness. We've had them in this place. We've had them here slowly trying to take it over. And God opens your eyes. They're not walking by faith. They don't live it. And that is the dividing side of it. And you say to yourself, well, I don't even know if I'm really walking in faith or not. Okay, if you're not, well, then be humble about it. Don't try to be something you're not. Just be honest. As I've always said, there's more chance for the honest who will make it into the kingdom of God than those who say they are but are not. You see? You've got nothing to lose. But God is going to work, as I bring this to a close now, so that our faith is real. So how do you discern when it's not faith? Because Satan, as I've said, can counterfeit. Well, this is why we have the Holy Spirit, and this is why we test. And we test the things of the Spirit. And it will show if it's a faith or it's not. And you know, faith is a confession. It doesn't take long to hear whether it is or it is not of faith. And sadly, there are a lot of ministers, when you listen to their preaching, teaching, there's not that faith confessing there. Anything but. A true minister of God is going to confess the word of God, and he's going to keep with it until you come to a place where you're totally trusting God in every area of your life. And it is possible. It is possible. Otherwise, we might as well go home. And I'll tell you, you're going to thank God for this teaching, because even now, NHS, you can't rely on that anymore. You cannot rely on that anymore. The stories we're hearing now, it is in a terrible state financially. What government really wants us to do is to go privately. That's what they're really hoping, to get that sort of thing up just overnight, where a whole nation has depended on NHS. You can't just suddenly revert and get everybody starting to go over private. That takes a long, 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 long time to establish these sort of things. So, you know, thank God that we're looking to the blood of Jesus, and by the stripes of Jesus we're healed. There's just a number of areas that we're going to have to totally trust God. So our acts will prove whether we're continuing to trust him or going to the arm of the flesh. Confession will give it away, and you discern it by the confession. How do you discern faith? You discern it by its love, its affection for Christ, his body, and each other. That's one of the great tests of discerning an active faith. Is love present? For faith works by love. Amen. Hebrews 4:2, and then we will finish. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith to those who heard it. So there you are. Your side of things is you mix faith with what you hear. And we know what that's about, isn't it? It's like making a cake. If you want a good cake, you've got to follow the recipe, and you've got to put all the ingredients in. You leave one ingredient out, and it's not quite the same. You know? I mean, I like making cakes, whatever, and I've been trying to make cakes, cut down sugar. I thought, you know, I'll reduce the sugar level, whatever it is, you know. Not the same. It's not the same. It's all balanced. All those ingredients are balanced, and we try it, or we try to sit, you know, and I mean, I like a good old-fashioned Victoria sponge, but I'll tell you what, the difference between margarine and butter is like north and south, you know? So what are we going to do? We're going to say, oh, I can't add butter, it's no good for me. Well, do we believe God's blessed it or not? Then enjoy it. Enjoy. You see, this is the test. It's quite simple. Quite simple. For an active faith, your test is, where is love? Period. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you again today. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for the life that is in your word. Lord, we just know that as we listen to you, just be she's so